the tide.
You're lined up by the headstone, the two of you, in the graveyard, standing awkwardly by each other's side as the rain pelts down over you. You haven't really had time to go back and get an umbrella or anything, if you even brought one to Kingstide. So you're just getting soaked, looking out at this clean, new, fresh headstone. Almost all the others here in this graveyard have been worn away by time. This one sticks out, it's safe to say. You feel like you would probably know whose it was, even if it didn't have it written there. You're probably lost in your thoughts. God knows what you're thinking about at this moment. And you assume the same is true of Morgan, who is just stood there. His hands are kind of firmly jammed into his jacket pocket. And he speaks. It happened about lunchtime. He'd gone to get us some food from the cafe. I usually went with him, but I didn't that day. I had a commission, and I was stressed about it. So he went out alone to get us sandwiches. They say they didn't hear anything from inside the cafe, but I don't know how that can be. He was crossing the road between the car park and the cafe when a car must have come out of nowhere. It sped off before anyone saw it, but it was broad daylight. There's no way they didn't see what happened, even if he didn't somehow crack the windshield. I don't know. It makes no sense. Something's wrong. And I don't know what to think.
These are questions you've had for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no detective.
Well, neither am I, but I mean, someone must know something.
I haven't really had the opportunity to start asking around. We always got the sense that we weren't exactly welcome here.
Yeah, I can see that.
What do you mean?
He looks a little affronted.
Well, it's not easy being known, is it? Town like this. Fuck it. Any town. They ask questions, make judgments. It's frightening.
It's irritating.
It's irritating. Does it not scare you?
I don't really get scared. I mostly just get angry.
We're very different people, you and I.
You're wondering what he saw in us?
I get angry too. But, it's usually when I don't understand something. The times I get scared, well, that's when me and Ian never saw eye to eye. He was, maybe like you. A little bit more comfortable in his own skin, I suppose.
I was going to say, I thought he was a little more like you. He was always more curious.
Yeah.
We had a funeral for him, sort of. I did think about sending out messages. Everyone in Manchester, his family, couldn't find the addresses. And I wasn't going to go out. So we just, I don't know, we just had it here. I didn't really expect people to show.
Did anyone?
It was pretty much just me and the priest. We hadn't really been here long enough for Ian to do his thing, you know. Nobody knew him. I bet that was weird for him. You know, when you knew him, was he always the center of the room?
Oh, yeah. He knew everyone.
Well, it turns out that takes time. I think he felt unmoored here.
Well, same.
But then near the end of the service, we were outside, we were doing this bit.
And he gestures to the grave in front of you.
Another guy came up and offered his condolences. He said he didn't know Ian, but he'd heard about the accident. I didn't recognize him, but he gave his name. He said he was called Casey. He was an older guy with a beard. Not seen him since.
Strange. He was a barista in Manchester. What was he doing here? He must have had a job. Presumably it wasn't at the cafe.
Oh, yeah, no, he was working with a leather worker, a tanner, out there on the industrial estate.
How did he get into that?
It's what he could find. He was an apprentice, basically. I was the one making money, and even then, not much of it.
In this case, it wasn't from work.
What do you mean?
Might have been the only other point of contact. He wasn't out socialising here,
oh,
were you?
No, the guy he worked with, I did meet him a couple of times. Barnaby, I think. He owns Latchford Leather Workers. Yeah, I've met him, but he didn't come.
Right. This is a sorry place for him.
Morgan shrugs and buries his hands deeper in the jacket.
This is a sorry, sorry place. He should be surrounded by people he knew.
I'm sure you would have done things differently.
That's not what I mean, Morgan. It just seems wrong, you know?
On that we agree.
Something about this feels empty. I thought that when I found him, I'd be able to say goodbye. But it feels like nothing I say now would mean anything. Like I said, when I don't understand something, I find it very difficult to put it down. And I don't understand this at all.
Well, where do we start?
Well, we're going to start asking questions. That is, if you're as angry as I am.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I agree. There's something wrong. Something empty.
Then we talk to the folk at the cafe. Someone must know something. I am not willing to believe that no one heard anything. There's not many businesses around there, but there's some others. Someone's not saying something. I'm going to go to the garage. Karis needs looking at anyway.
Karis?
Oh, Mika.
Morgan squints, looks at you, tilts his head, and then breaks into a grin. Rotor edge. Nice.
Yeah, well, I try and drive her a little better than that, but given the maiden voyage, I've already got a couple of dings I should probably have it looked at. But if you like, while she's been looked at, we could have a look around. See if there's any cracked windshields on the books.
Huh. I wouldn't have thought of that.
I wouldn't until you mentioned it.
Alright. I'll follow your lead. So, you leave the graveyard behind and walk back. Because I don't think you drove here. I think you walked here.
Mm-hmm.
So you make the walk back to the car park on the waterfront and drive it the short distance to the garage there. You do go past the cafe. Do you want to go in there first? Or are you going to make a beeline for the garage?
I think we're going straight to the garage. Mm. I think I need to catch someone out in the cafe. I think I need more information before I start asking questions.
You kind of already think you know what they're going to say.
Exactly. The answer is nothing, yeah. Right? In Russell's mind, we're at war with people holding their tongue.
As you're driving back and you pass the waterfront, you do peer into the cafe, and you also see, when you're kind of looking around for what other businesses might be nearby, there is an apartment on top of the cafe with windows looking out to sea, but it doesn't seem to be occupied because there is a to let sign there, kind of sticking out on a piece of cardboard that has kind of been partially like worn away with time. So it looks like it's been there for, been unoccupied for quite some time. So you make it to the garage.
Mm-hmm.
The sign above it says Kingstide Signature Motor Services in like four different fonts. Like each word has got its own style going on.
Oh, that's some graphic design, word art. Like,
it's impressive. Yeah,
it's great.
There's a phone number below it. No website, of course. But you drive the car in, and there is a clear space up at the front. And a gentleman strides over He looks to be about 40, 45, maybe. But most of his hair is grey. And he has sort of frown lines around his mouth. He looks at the car first and then looks at you as you and Morgan kind of step out. He says to you, "All right, gents, can I help?"
"Hiya, pal. Step out of the car. Took a little run off a curb coming into town on the switchback. You mind taking a quick look? It's making a noise I don't think I like."
He nods and he says, "Yeah, all right, I'll have a look over for you." And he goes over to the bonnet, pulls it open, bends down. "Won't be a sec." As he does, his head kind of buried down there, Morgan, like, looks at you and grins and mouths, "All right, pal."
Russell shrugs. elbows Morgan, and then he goes, like, talking straight hard.
Morgan coughs and says, "Oi, mate."
Russell's cracking up. Good try.
Ace. Morgan says, "You got a toilet I can use?" And the guy gestures through a door. Seems to be the only door in there. There is like a little archway which seems to lead into like a parts cupboard. But that's not like closed at all. So you can kind of see in there already. Morgan heads down that direction and raises his eyebrows at you, and you can tell he's gonna go and try and do some snooping.
Apprehensive but approving nod across the way.
What do you do while Morgan's down there? Because you don't know how long he's gonna be.
I start talking to the mechanic about we'll start with that road in's pretty treacherous.
Yeah, you're not the first to come here right after that. We've talked to the council and tried to get it fixed, or at least get some barriers up there. It's not safe, but well, you know, the council.
Sort of place where not a lot changes very fast, eh?
He looks up from the bonnet at you and squints. "Yeah, I guess not." I think if you're going to try and keep him talking, I am going to ask for a dice roll.
All right.
Do your best to distract from the fact that Morgan is taking a little while. I'll roll your difficulty for you.
Sure.
I'm going to go with 3d6 for this difficulty. And you don't have any complications left over from last time.
No, I already ate.
Good. A total of 6 with an opportunity there as well. You can't use that right now because you don't have any complications, but 6 should be beatable.
Cool.
What do you got?
So I'm thinking I'm going to use maybe actually for the first time in this game, I'm going for sucker for the dramatic on my distinctions, in that I'm going to try and get him talking about like more and more grisly accidents and like, you know, like conditions he's seen cars in.
Okay.
Not like, probably not going to be talking about
you know, arguably too soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I may have misworded that. Sort of like, you know, smashed up cars from that sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like the best work he's done, sort of thing. Yeah. Then I'm going to add my wits, I think, to this. I can't think of anything else here. And my rapport, which is D6. I don't know if I can add Keris in here.
I,
think so.
She's present.
You're making use of her. You can absolutely use her as a distraction.
I know the specs of Keris at least, so I can, you know, I can talk about like the probably none of the workings, but like, you know, the Peugeot 206.
She's orange. You know that.
She's got a CD player.
Yeah,
that's what I know.
You're like, could it be something to do with the CD player?
And I think I'm going to turn my D8 into a D4.
You're gonna hinder your distinction for that plot point.
Hinder my distinction.
Very nice.
For a plot point. Which gives me a D4, two D6s, and a D10.
Bring it on.
Ooh, here goes. Okay, no hitches.
Great.
Which is good news.
Good work. Well done.
I can use my 2d6s to make 10, or I can get a 15. How many do I need to beat it by to get a super powerful magic success?
By 5.
By 5. So I think I'm better off just using the 10 and then using a d10 as an effect die.
D10 effect die, very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say that this guy is distracted d10. It might not come up, but we'll use your effect die for that.
Cool.
You've inflicted a complication, essentially.
Nice.
And you earn a plot point.
I do earn a plot point.
For your hindering. Nice. Well hindered.
I've hindered so successfully, I didn't roll a single one.
The mechanic tells you his name is Errol and explains what's wrong with your car. Now, me, Riley, game moderator, does not know what's wrong with Keris, because I don't know a damn thing about cars.
Mm-hmm.
But he explains the issue, and he explains how much it'll cost. At this point, Morgan has returned. He's looking extraordinarily shifty, but
good. Great.
It's
good to know something about this new accomplice of mine.
This is maybe not his, not necessarily his forte. Although he leapt into it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, fair play to him. He was right when he said he didn't have any fear.
What he lacks in technique, he makes up for in enthusiasm. Anyway, he returns and Errol sort of tells you the price point to fix it, and says it'll be a few days before he can get the parts to do it. The price to you seems kind of like reasonable enough. I mean, you don't know exactly. You could try and like see if he's swindling you if you wanted to roll for it, but like it's a price that you would pay. Morgan's eyes practically like bulge out of his skull when he hears the price.
Okay.
But he doesn't say anything. He keeps stum.
I don't think I'm the sort of person who can just say that's not how much that should cost when it comes to a part.
Yes.
You know?
Because if you say that, you've got to commit. You've got to know what you're talking
about. I've got to know what the hell I'm talking about, and I do not know what the hell I'm talking about. And I don't want to make any enemies here by just straight up bartering.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'll commit to paying that amount, which hurts me. It hurts me deep.
I bet.
to give away this fictional money.
Don't break the illusion. Anyway, you get it paid, and you walk out of the garage with a slip, bit of information of when you can come back and get it.
Did I get the information? Does Errol own this place or just work here?
If you ask, he does own it. He works here with his brother, but his brother is in hospital at the moment.
Oh, are you all right?
He's okay. His hip's going.
Ah, that happened to my dad.
He frowns and does not enjoy being reminded of the age difference between the two of you. You see it written on his face, but he nods tightly. Anything else you want to ask Errol, or are you going to get out of Dodge?
I'll ask whether they do windshield replacements here, or whether they have to go somewhere else. Not everywhere does them.
That's a suspicious question, because Keris is like windshield is demonstrably fine. It's brand new, as you say. Not so much as a scratch. So I am going to ask for a roll.
Sure.
Here, but you can make use of that distracted D10 that you gave him last time,
because
you know you're helping to throw him off the scent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do the same difficulty as before, because it's the same kind of roll. I did do better this time. This is a 9.
A 9.
But you have a bonus d10.
D10. Probably a similar roll.
Yeah, you might want to not hinder, potentially.
Yeah. And
turn that back to a d8.
That won't be hindering.
Morgan can help you if you would like. You do have quite a lot of dice, so you can refuse the help, because it, you know. But he can offer you one of his skills in assistance as well.
Oh. I mean, it's more chances at a hitch.
Yeah.
But what are we talking here?
I think probably he'd give you his wits as well to go alongside yours.
Yeah.
He has wits d6.
I think another d6. Sod it, let's do it. Why not? Eh? No hitches.
Well done.
And holy heck, I think I can beat that. What did you say it was? 9?
9.
I can do that.
What's your total?
14.
14 on the dot. Very good. And with no hitches, then there's absolutely no problems. He doesn't suspect a thing. He says, we repair windshields here and there. Doesn't happen too often on those roads, but it can. Sometimes if it's bad weather. With that heroic success, you get a d6 hero die.
Yes.
Good work. And yeah, you got a d10 effect die there. I don't think that contributes, because this scene is about over, but it does represent that he doesn't suspect a thing. You don't get any complications at all.
Excellent. He doesn't also say, yeah, we fixed one a little while ago.
He doesn't just tell you exactly what you want to know. Yeah.
Turned out they'd done a hit and run, and there's been a conspiracy ever since.
he doesn't say any of that.
Okay, well, you know, it's nice to know what effects I can and can't expect from that, the dice here.
Yeah, that's a d12 effect time.
So we walk off the lot, because Karis is in the... is in for maintenance.
Yes.
And I, as soon as we're around the corner, I turn to Morgan and say, anything suspicious?
I think so. Yeah. I wasn't really expecting to find anything, but there's. Oh, sorry, my heart's pumping.
Hey, take a minute.
I've never really done anything. Well, sort of. I don't know. That was illegal.
I imagine so, yeah.
Cool.
It was pretty cool. Well done.
And you were cool as well. He didn't suspect anything.
Nothing at all. See? It's hard to talk straight, but you can do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's limits to my powers there. Right, so... there's like a big book there that he's got. It's open. I didn't even have to turn the page or anything, so I didn't leave any fingerprints or anything like that.
Good.
But it's got all of the jobs that he's done, and I looked for the day it happened and went down from there. And July 28th, the day after he died, somebody brought in a car to be scrapped.
Scrapped?
Like a delivery. They were gonna take it to some scrapyard.
Interesting.
There wasn't much detail, but there wasn't much detail on most of these. There was like a number, it was 1178, but I think that's just like an ID or something. There was no license plate. There was a description. Ford Mondeo, brown.
Ford Mondeo.
And anyway, they say they took it to Totter's Lane scrapyard.
Totter's Lane. Okay. Do you know that?
He shakes his head. Not had much call to find a scrapyard.
But you don't know the road?
No. Doesn't ring a bell.
All right, well, shite, I left the Aether set in Karis.
Are we going back for it? Well, that looks suspicious.
No, I don't think getting something from out of the glove box is going to look very suspicious. Hang about, you wait here.
All right.
I'll run back and grab the Aether Zed.
Sure, no problem.
Shove it in the inside pocket of my body warmer.
You make it back to Morgan, who is kind of like shaking with energy at that point. And he says, one other thing, just before I forget,
please.
In the margins on the left hand side of the page, it said, like, next to each of the jobs,
it said ED or BD.
ED or BD?
Yeah. Like Ed or BD.
That's what those spell.
He gives a withering look at you. And it's like all the energy just like melts away into being pissed off. It's like, all right, don't be a prick.
I can't help it sometimes.
Anyway, this one was BD. I remember that. That's all I remember. I wondered if it was like been done and like...
expected done.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what I mean. Like whether it's like paid for or not paid for or excellent driver or bad driver.
Oh, shit. It could be.
it probably couldn't.
It could be.
That's
good.
Is it?
Well, everyone in this town judges everyone else.
Right, but how would they know whether they were good or bad drivers based on just the state of their car?
I don't know. I mean, if you hit a person and there's a crack in your windshield...
Probably a bad driver.
Probably not a good driver.
We probably shouldn't be talking about this sort of thing. It's a bit grim, isn't it?
Sorry. Listen, I've got a... I would help more, but I do actually have some work to be getting on with back home.
Oh, yeah, you got another commission?
Yeah, yeah.
What are you doing?
Just some spangly trousers.
Nice.
Yeah, I think she's like a disco artist or something. Just, yeah, nobody big. Somebody I knew from Manchester.
Tales to the Stars.
Not exactly.
Tonight, Matthew...
He bats you away, and he's like, shut up. But, you know, come by whenever if you find something new. Maybe see if anybody knows that Casey guy.
I'll ask around. Maybe I'll drop by the Tanners.
Yeah, I doubt they'll know anything, but have a go.
Yeah.
He nods brusquely and begins walking away, stops, turns around, and then walks in the other direction.
Offer the Ace's head if it's required.
He smacks it out of your hand. Fuck off.
Failed to catch it twice and then catch it up just before it hits the ground.
It's getting, like, it's not super late in the day, but it's kind of drifting into evening.
Mm-hmm. Alright. So, like, 4 o'clock or something. That's what
about that, yeah.
I'm loaded up with a bunch of stuff that I would have left in Caris, you know, just bits and bobs, pens, keys, stuff in the driver's seat.
Yes.
That I didn't want sitting around, and I'll go and I'll take those back to the B&B.
Okay. You head inside. Grace is there at the front desk, and she gives you a curt nod as you enter, and she says, "Everything all right this morning, dear?"
Well, yes.
Never seen anything like it.
No, nor I, to be honest. Turned out there's some unanswered questions about my friend's passing. So when I came in, they, I think they overreacted slightly. But, as you can see, they didn't lock me up.
Didn't they?
No. Russell's face starts getting slightly more desperate here, in a sort of, once they found out I didn't know any more than they did. There's a fair bit of mystery around it, you know.
Well, I'm sure it'll all get cleared up sooner or later. And she goes back to her paper.
I certainly hope so. It's awful not knowing, you know.
You have a good day. She is not looking at you. Something's wrong. Like, I'm not even going to ask you for a dice roll to determine that something's wrong. Clearly wrong with Grace here.
Yeah, she's avoiding. She's made her judgments.
Yeah, or doesn't want to get too sucked into these things that you're talking about, maybe.
I see. Damn. Well then, I'll have to ask someone else if they know it, Casey.
I mean, you can ask her. I'm not stopping you from asking her.
No.
If you want to ask her something outright, you get the sense that she's too polite that she wouldn't just say something, even if she was brusque about it. But that's up to you.
Wary of asking the wrong people the wrong questions, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
People who are mistrustful and people who are staying here at the B&B, many of them were witness to that display this morning.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
So, God, I know absolutely no one in this town. This sucks. I'll say,
you know a fair few people around here, don't you?
She gives you a proper side eye, like glancing up from her newspaper, but she says, oh yeah, yeah. Been here long enough.
Supposedly my pal had a friend named Casey, but I don't know of one in the town. Know of anyone?
Oh yeah, Casey Emerson, I know him.
Older fella?
That's right, yeah. Well, younger than me. But I think Jeannie knows more, actually. Jeannie runs the fish and chippy over there.
I was going to ask.
Well, she knows everyone, yeah. Everyone goes there. She might be able to tell you something.
Thank Grace. I'll get out your hair now, let you read.
She gives a nod that could cut glass. so sharp is it.
Okay, I'll chuck my stuff upstairs and probably fold up anything kind of in the knowledge that my belongings are probably going to be rifled through at some point. I'm going to fold up anything that looks even half suspicious. Not that I think there is anything, but there's a way to the kind of preparation of Russell's things now that is tremendously concerned with the outward eye, you know?
Well, here's something to think about as you make it upstairs and you're busying yourself. You're sort of arranging your things there at the foot of the bed when you kind of look up, Dan, and you were so out of it this morning. So bewildered by everything that happened in the night, that dream, that impossible, those impossible events. You forgot that you left your bed completely soaked through. All of those sheets, the pillows, everything that was on there, soaked. But now it is as fresh, clean, and well made as the day you arrived.
A different sheet?
How do you know?
I mean, did they have a pattern? Did they have a colour?
Make a roll. Let's do a notice. Something involving notice.
Something involving notice. I'm D6 for that.
Well, I'll roll your difficulty first and foremost.
Sure.
This is going to require a fair bit of, like, you know, fine-grained detail. So I'm gonna say it's 2d8 difficulty.
Okay.
Ugh. A 1 on one of those and a 5 on the other. So you've just got a total of 5 because I can't use that one.
Wowee. All right. Well, standard d8 with, I suppose, hates an unanswered question.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to use my grace here, but it's probably something to do with cunning or wits here. I think
wits is probably right.
Wits, okay. I don't mind hearing that. Okay, I'm doing well today.
You are.
Let's go with an 11 on a d10 effect dice.
Very good indeed. That's another heroic success. And this time, because my highest die in my pool is a d8, you get a d8 hero die.
That's really quite good, isn't it?
It could be very, very powerful if and when things get difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're able to determine that these are new sheets. They are a slightly different shade. Neither of them are patterned, but this is a slightly sort of closer to cream than the white ones that you had before. So they are not the same sheets.
They're new. Okay. Grace has found a load of seawater. I don't know how you explain that. Frankly, never mind. I'm going to bother her some more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grace, I was so taken away, literally, earlier, I forgot to mention. Is there a leak in the room I'm in?
Her mouth twists and she says, no, nobody's mentioned anything about a leak.
I remember waking up in the night feeling a wet on my face.
I think I'm going to call for a roll here.
I'm bluffing the hell because obviously this isn't true.
Yeah, I think part of the roll is convincing her that you're lying, but it's also reading what she sees when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can roll those into one thing. This might be a good opportunity to do a contest. I think this feels a bit like a contest. And I have some stats for Grace here as well.
Love going to war with an old lady.
It's a social contest. It's very much seeing who socially can get the upper hand here. Because it's a contest, you're going to start the role because you're actually initiating this.
Okay.
So just pick up dice like you normally would for this role here.
What do you think, wits or cunning?
Cunning, I think, is where we are. Yeah. Cunning is definitely the lying to people skill.
Yeah, all right. What's this like to be focus so that I can try and, like, hold my nerve whilst looking at her?
I think this is kind of rapport. Like, rapport can be used for friendliness, but it can also be used for, like, patter, almost.
Okay.
You know?
You're not...
I'm not giving you what you need here. I know. I'm sorry.
I am absolutely hating an unanswered question here, or indeed a sucker for the dramatic, but it doesn't really matter because they're both the same dice number.
Yes.
And I can't really use any of my specialties either.
Those specialties have proven to be not the most useful.
No. Not really equipped for this sort of thing.
No, not quite. But give it a go.
Let's 2d8s and a d6 here. This is where I start rolling all of my hitches, isn't it? Yeah, I've only got an 8 there.
Okay. Any hitches?
One
hitch. Okay. Well, I'll buy that hitch off of you, giving you a plot point, and I think we'll give you the unsettled d6 complication for this situation. So here's how a contest works now that you've made your first roll. Grace is going to try and beat that. If she does, you get to roll again.
Okay.
And it's going to keep going, raising the stakes until somebody fails or until somebody gives in the contest. She's going to roll. She's going to use some stats that I'm not going to tell you what they are, but she is going to use your unsettled d6 that you just picked up against you.
Love that.
And she's got to beat an 8, is that right?
Yes. That's a lot of dice.
It's a lot of dice, but it's not enough.
Oh, she didn't get it?
She didn't get it. And actually, she rolled an opportunity there. So if you would like to pay a plot point, you can...
I'm going
to
get rid of that unsettled.
Get rid of that unsettled just as quickly as you picked it up. So you end that contest victorious. She relents and says, well, I'll have Tony look at... are you going out again?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have Tony look while you're gone, see if there's any problems. I do apologise.
It was no problem at all. It was just strange. Other than that, I got a fairly good night's sleep. I just, you know, woke up and it was like, you know, salty water on the pillow.
Because you succeeded, and I said this was not just a role to lie, but also a role to read her a little bit and get what she is getting from this. Every time you describe what it's like you're driving a knife through her. It's like she's being physically kind of affected by what you're saying. She's doing her best to keep her expressions kind of under control, and it's completely clear to you that she is kind of hiding something here. But she is obviously not willing to just outright say that she has some understanding or recognition of what you're talking about.
Well, hopefully it's not too much trouble anyway.
She nods wordlessly.
Have a nice afternoon.
You turn and leave the Cranford B&B. This terrified old woman in your wake.
Sneak a look over my shoulder as I leave.
While she thinks you're not looking, her expression morphs from pain or confusion to distrust. Thank you for listening. For more information, visit tide.show.